flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Vasinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to the stinking truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's welcome in a legend of Philadelphia sports, one of the great defenders in Eagles history, and Seth Joyner is brought to us every Monday at this time by the wonderful people at Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it is a tank or a tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. The aforementioned Mr. Seth Joyner. Good morning, Seth.
What's going on, guys? Hey, James, you know, Aretha, you know, when you know Aretha, you call her Aretha. She's not Aretha.
Love that.
You know, when you play that song, she's referring to relationship and love. You know what I'm saying? But the kind of respect that the Philadelphia Eagles want, they're going to have to go down to New Orleans and take it. They're going to have to take it. No fear. No too much respect for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. What you want, what they want, they're going to have to go down there and take it. They have to take their respect.
That's what the team did 7 years ago, winning that Super Bowl.
I agree.
They outplayed the New England Patriots. They flat out did. Seth, are you excited, man?
I tell you, man, this 2 weeks in between is too much for me, man. It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know as a player, you know, I've been down this road twice. I know as a player, you know, you relish having that extra week after everything.
Did you have both? Did you have 2 weeks both times?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You enjoy.
It's awful with the 1 week, man. It's just not enough time to. Yeah. It's not enough time to give it the attention that it deserves. It's everyone is so rushed. Like the moment that conference championship game ends, everyone's already like thinking about getting on the plane. Everyone's rushing to get there.
You know, if you got the right people in place to take care of all the, you know, logistical stuff. And you almost have to, under those circumstances, you just get on the plane and you focus in to do what you got to do. But if you're worrying about family and friends and this and that and all that other stuff, I could see how it could be a distraction. The good organizations, they fix all of that for you.
Yeah.
You know,
like the Chiefs have lots of practice at fixing this for the guys.
Yeah, they've done it before. But, you know, the good thing is, you know, Nick and his team has been here before.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
makes a difference.
The organization has won one before; they've lost one, so they know what you know what the logistics and what the process should really you know.
Let me ask you this, Seth: you played in two, and of course, you know, unfortunately, not here, but two with really great teams. One you lost with Green Bay, mm-hmm. one you won with Denver. Underdog when you lost, excuse me, favorite when you lost, underdog when you won. Did you notice anything different in the preparation, in any way that's a tip off to? We're increasing our chances or we're decreasing our chances to win?
Well, you know, both of those coaches, both Mike Holmgren and I think both teams were favorite.
No, in Denver, you were a huge underdog to Green Bay, right?
No. The first year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, my fault. My yeah, fault.
First year I was in Green Bay, we were 14-point favorite.
Gotcha.
That was like the kiss of death.
That was the one. Right.
And then the following one, you know, in Denver, they were clearly the favorite over Atlanta.
That's right. My fault. Yep.
Yeah, but
that game was over before it began.
No, it was over at halftime.
It was over the first play. Didn't Rod Smith catch a touchdown on the first play or something like that?
I can't. It's all a blur,
all right,
Joe. But, you know, you're talking about two coaches, Mike Holmgren and
Mike Shanahan.
Mike Shanahan, who came from that San Francisco method. And most teams in the NFL, when San Francisco was making its run, they looked at everything that those organizations that organization did. And they kind of followed, you know, that footprint. They kind of followed that blueprint of how to do things. And, you know, like you hear Andy. Andy's from that coaching tree. Andy says, well, you know, or Nick, they talk about putting in 80% of the game plan on week one. And, you know, there'll be some tweaks in week two. But for the most part, you know, what you're going to do, what you're going to look like, you know, you put it in the first week. It's going to be such an interesting game, man. It really is.
So the Patrick Mahomes, we know he's seen a lot. He's seen practically everything, and Andy Reid has too, and he's got Mahomes out there like a coach on the field. How can our defense give him looks that, I don't know, he's uncomfortable with, looks that, you know, give him pause?
Well, I'm of the opinion that this is going to be one of the greatest chess matches, you know, in a Super Bowl that we've seen in a long time, from a myriad of different standpoints. Because what Andy Reid does is, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs is a unique team, I should say. They can be kind of finessey, but when finesse ain't working, they can shift, you know, to smash mouth, we'll run the ball at you,
uh-huh,
you know, with big people at the drop of a hat.
Sort of like the opposite of us. We can pound you and then finesse you if we need.
So what's gonna wind up happening, and one of the things that I think hurt the Eagles the last time, is you almost have to go into a game against Andy Reid with two different game plans. And you got to be prepared and ready to morph those game plans from series to series. Because where they need it, like the Eagles dominated them in the first half of Super Bowl 57.
Yeah, we were up by 10.
They dominated them in the first half. And they were a pass-centric team in the first half. They came out in the second half and they just started running the ball at us. I mean, just downhill at play after play. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to establish the run. Because once they establish the run, then they can, and that sounds weird as hell, you know, coming from Andy Reid.
Yep.
But, you know, he's learned. If we can establish the line of scrimmage, we can run anything in our playbook, play action pass, bootlegs. We can run anything that we want. And they got it established, and that flipped the game. Same exact thing against New England in 08 when we lost to New England. We dominated them in the first half. The second half, they come out with these multiple tight end sets, and they had nothing. They had no answer for it. Now, we used to have back in our day, Joe, we had an extra backer package where we took a corner out, put an extra linebacker in the game. So when you go twins to one side, instead of having just a defensive end over there, you insert the linebacker there. That linebacker's playing on the outside. He's got the edge, so they can't double down on that end on that side. It was like a chess match. You know, Javon Kearse would get in the gap between the two tight ends. They double him, and they pull around him. He get outside. They turn him out and run up inside of him. And I'm screaming at the TV the whole time, go extra backer, go extra backer. So these are the types of things, like, you know, Vic Fangio has to have he's got to have two game plans. He just does. Because this is the problem that Andy presents. And this team is so well coached, they can morph back in between, you know, what they want to do. If you want to play man, well, we're going to take advantage of our one-on-ones. You know, we're going to go 3-by-1 like you saw in the game, the play that shut that won them the game against Buffalo. They go trips to one side. They got the back offset away from the trips. They run a three-man pick play with the back coming across the formation and out into the flat. Mm-hmm. And there was no one within 20 yards of them.
And that's how they get so wide open? Design?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to be smart enough to know that this is what they do. Like in that situation, you know, it's easy to say it in hindsight, but when you see those three guys reduced in a bunch look, you got to know that they're trying to either pick or they're trying to pick across. So when you get these reduced fronts like that or these reduced formations, you almost have to go zone.
So these guys are doing just a tremendous amount of film study, like tremendous amount, right?
Yeah, because, you know, Andy's always coming up with something innovative and something different. You know, what they do, in my opinion, is they attack your inefficiencies. So if I got a defensive end that loves to chase on plays away, well, we're coming back the other way with something. Yeah. Because we know, like the Patrick Mahomes rollout. He rolled out one time and threw it to the back in the flat last week, you know, for a first down. And then he ran the same play, but he kept it. Now you tell me
plays that start out the same and end up different. But it's impossible. Like for your linebacker perspective, you have to read it all out. You have to treat it all the same. Well, you have to take the same footwork. You have to stop the run first. It really is.
It is, John. It is so much the integrity of your defense. Okay, it drives me crazy when I see these guys. You're playing defensive end. The play is away. That is not your play. There's not a damn thing you can do to stop that play when that play is away from you. Take one step, check backside, make sure nothing's coming back, okay? And that serves you on bootlegs as well. Anytime you see Patrick Mahomes run a bootleg and nobody's home, I'm like, what the hell are y'all looking at?
Because someone didn't do their simple job.
And that's, you know, we talk about all these geniuses in football nowadays and these offensive. To me, they game plan a defense's inefficiency so much more because they anticipate that guy to make that mistake. They anticipate him to chase rather than stay home and check for anything coming back. And then what they do is they're like, okay, we can count on that guy in a crucial situation trying to overplay the play and do somebody else's damn job instead of doing his. And they game plan him and they get him every single time.
Look, this is good stuff. We'll get Seth on the other side. You know, KC's D versus the Eagles offense. We'll get to that coming up shortly. Let's get to John right now with Seth Joyner in studio. John, good morning.
Good morning. Just a second. Let me get off speaker. Okay. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is really exciting. And I think it's a good omen that I got on when Seth was on. Just really, really a great feeling to be able to talk to him, listen to him, to his insights over the years. Just really great.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, appreciate it. So you know what my dream is that I'm walking down the street and all of a sudden three guys come around the corner and they're looking pretty menacing. And all of a sudden out of the shadows comes Seth with that scowl on his face.
To protect
you? I'm saved.
John, I don't know if I got any help for you, man. I ain't beat nobody up in a long time.
You just need to give him the look, Seth. You just need to give him that look. So anyway, I you guys said about being in New Orleans or being in Philly.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, being in Philly is the best. When we won, I ran out on the street with my son.
Yep.
And we had the best time. It was the best time ever.
Yeah, I get it, man. I'm happy to be here. Look, John, both spots are great, but I'm very happy to be here, both during the week and Sunday itself.
Yeah, assuming a win, you will be in hog heaven. Run down the street. Make sure you get out there and just take it all in. That will be so good. It'll be the best.
I know. I get it, my man. I'm still trying to figure out where I'm watching the game. All right, John, you have a shot to win the Kelly Green Hurts jersey or the Brandon Graham jersey, both of which are signed. Best scene in a movie that's got a sports thing going on in the scene. What do you got?
Roy Hobbs hits a home run in a playoff game and breaks the stadium lights.
All right, two things. One, it's already been said, and two, it's not a playoff game because it's the end of the regular season. Give me a different answer.
Okay, I will say Roy Hobbs knocks the cover off the ball.
There you go. Double Roy Hobbs right there. All right, I guess it was a best of three. I don't think they would call it playoffs when it was best of three. It was the end of the regular season. It wasn't because he'd been in the hospital and he got shot the whole... Well,
was he trying to entice only Joe with his answers there?
Yeah.
Like he knew that you were natural
obsessed. With that movie.
I'll just say this. The single best scene in the movie is when Roy Hobbs leaves his old love's house and is reflective about his life
when he gets
out on the sidewalk. When he leaves Glenn Close's house, it's the best scene in the movie. Just going to tell you. All right, Seth, let's flip it. Eagles-0. And part of what makes, I think, this game so intriguing, they're great coordinators, and you know, include Andy as coordinator, essentially. Eagles offense versus Chiefs defense, what are you thinking?
I think in order for them to have success running the football now, this defense is different. It's different because they don't care about playing man-to-man. They really don't. And because they play man-to-man, it really puts them in a unique position to stop the run. And trust me, that is going to be their number one objective, is to stop the run. A lot of teams, you know, we go back, we talk about Kansas City running these reduced formations. I think one of the big mistakes that teams make against Kansas City's defense is they do reduce a lot of sets. But when you reduce a set, John, instead of you having a six-man box because you got so many more guys closer to the box, now you start to implement seven, eight guys around the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
And those
– a nebulous look.
Yeah, yeah. Those
an in-between type,
yeah, those
look.
Those slot corners and those safeties are not afraid to play the run. Like, they understand and they know where the holes and where the gaps are.
You can serve two purposes.
Yeah, and they make a lot of plays, you know, for lost tackles around the line of scrimmage because they're keying their guy. And the minute their guy goes to block down, they replace right now. There's no hesitancy, you know, whatsoever. So I kind of get the sense that if the Eagles really, really want to run the football, you got to eliminate some of those guys from the box. You know, now listen, they've had the ability to run the football on everybody, and they do run a bunch of reduced splits. And A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and all the other guys, they do a good job of running the football. But these guys, they're on another level. It's not just how they fit in the run. It's also the looks that you get in the passing game. Like when you reduce the split to the X side and he's the only wide receiver, a lot of times they'll run a corner blitz off of that. And I'm like, if you move that wide receiver out, and I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to reduce the split so that you can get him on a crossing route right now.
But move the receiver makes it harder for the corner blitz to get there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just more, more time.
If that guy's lined up like 5 yards from the tackle on either side, you know, it's almost a dead giveaway because, you know, I played in defenses before where that's an automatic fire blitz.
Yep.
That's an automatic corner dog right now when you're in that situation and it's a passing situation and you know it, you know. So
that's an aggressive defense. You got an automatic corner cat.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely. You just turn to the safety, you give him a hand signal, and he knows right away. Now you got to hold your water because if, you know, you get a hard count, the quarterback sees you leaning. Now the wide receiver's doing that, but in most of the time you got a safety coming from deep, either a halves or a deep third, that's coming down to play this guy. But the objective is to get somebody on the quarterback right now, okay? Get him on him right now and make the quarterback make a hasty, quick, you know, unthought-out decision, which most of the time turns into a mistake. So in my opinion, it would serve the Eagles well to spread this team out, okay? Even if you got to go 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, take your wide receivers and spread them out to get some guys out of the box. So now you got, even if you got Dallas in the box, now you got 6-on-6, okay? The other thing is when they want to start to get blitz happy, you know, I was watching some film yesterday, and the Eagles went to an 8-man protection and ran a 2-man route and hit A.J. Brown in a 1-on-1 situation.
Last game?
They do it, you know, from time to time.
Gotcha.
But I feel like in certain situations, especially where they want to take a shot, especially where you're going to get them showing zero blitz, you got to check out of that and you got to get your protection where you got Dallason staying in blocking, Saquon staying in blocking, and, you know, you got your five, you know, your five down. You know, you just got to figure out how to get to a 7- or 8-man protection. And listen, if they bail out, you can check Saquon out late. You can check, you know, Dallas out late. But you can't allow Steve Spagnuolo to get you in these pressure situations where he's coming and you know he's coming, but you're trying to figure out, is he coming from the right? Is he coming from the left? Is he coming all out? You know, you're sitting back there as a quarterback trying to adjust, you know, what you're seeing and adjust the protections. And that's where they really kill you.
It's a big responsibility on the QB. Seth, let me ask you this. Let's just round out this sort of chess match part of the show conversation here.
Last thing.
Yeah.
They got to win on first down. They cannot get behind the sticks on first down because Spagnuolo will not only just blitz you on third and long situations, he will blitz you in second and long situations to force you to stay in third and long situation.
Yeah.
So they've got to get 4, 5, 6 yards on first down to make him back off on second down.
Yep. Tell me if this is right, both you guys, Seth and John. Tell me if I have this right. The 4 coordinator / coach involvement, the rankings. I'm not talking about preparation of like my team's emotionally ready. I'm saying schematic preparation and execution with play calling. Here's how I rank them. 1, Andy. 2, Spagnuolo. 3, Vic Fangio. 4, Kellen Moore / Nick Sirianni. Do I have that right?
Sure.
The two three kind of worries.
It's close. 2-3 is close.
The two three.
But I mean, Spags has 4 Super Bowls. Now, I mean,
listen,
my God.
I get it.
And I love Vic Fangio, but I mean, 4 Super Bowls.
I get it. If you know, why not use the same moniker that they throw on Jalen Hurts all the time? Well, look at all the talent that he's got, okay? He should have 4 Super Bowls with all the talented players.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So, I mean, if the environment is right for you and you've got those players, well, yeah, you're going to – but my thing is, okay, it's all relative. If the situational football dictates that Spags can dominate, then he just may dominate.
So make sure you're not in that spot is what you're saying.
You can't put yourself in that situation
that makes sense.
To give him. I think the chess match between Andy and
Vic.
And Vic is just going to be
legendary.
Epic.
It's phenomenal. It really is.
And then the real question is going to be, you know, for Spags' genius, can the combination of Sirianni Moore, can they figure out a way to break that code?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I like it.
I mean, it's just going to be...
And Jalen at the line will have a big part of that because he will be the ultimate final decision maker before a play.
And this is what I love because on this stage, we finally get to, you know, shut all the Jalen Hurts naysayers up because I don't think that Jalen gets enough credit for what he does at the line of scrimmage. Like when you talk about field generals... And I'm not making a comparison. Don't get it twisted because people will hear this and they'll go on social media and start some crap. When you talk about the great field generals, you're talking about, you know,
Brady Montana, Elway, those guys.
Montana, Elway. You're talking about Peyton Manning.
Sure, all that guy. Yeah, all those guys.
They get up to the line of scrimmage. Yep. They diagnose what's going on.
Yep.
And they're making every call at the line of scrimmage. And what people don't give Jalen credit for is that he came in this year and he asked for control over protection. And when you see him at the line of scrimmage, he is operating like a field general on the field, changing plays. He's doing it all at the line of scrimmage, you know. But certain players, certain quarterbacks, what we do is we want to look at the results. And we want to look at the passing game. And we want to look at everything else except for, I would bid you, okay, as a fan of this football team, and if you're a fan of Jalen Hurts, to watch him intently this game.
Yeah.
And watch what he does at the line of scrimmage. Look at how many times he gets them out of a play and into a better one. Or into, you know, or vice versa. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. And
we miss that, and nobody talks about that. All they want to talk about is his inefficiency. Oh, he can't read a defense. Are you kidding me? Most of the big plays, the explosive plays that you see at the line of scrimmage, is Jalen making a call, making a change at the line of scrimmage. And then you wonder why Nick Sirianni would say, I wouldn't want any other quarterback running my offense except for Jalen Hurts.
All right, Seth with us in studio.